Greetings! Greetings, my dear fellow Republic Broadcasting Network listeners. Thank you for showing up today, and it is the big day before the big day. So we really appreciate your support, continuing support, and let me just give out that 800 number off the top here. It is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And please visit our sponsors, and you can mail in to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I think I have it memorized, but I didn't want to trust my memory. So, there you go. Yep, and today is the 7th of April in the year of our Lord Jesus the Christ, 2024, or maybe more. And this is Yours Truly Myrrh. We have a chat room, yourstrulymyrrh.chatango.com, and there's some really good things, really good posts in there. I hope to get to some of them today. We'll see how it goes. I also would like to offer a little prayer here. I really need it today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us all the time, dear Lord, and please direct me to deliver the message so it can be clearly understood. And please keep our connection secure, dear Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have a bunch of notes here, and I kept writing notes all during the week, and it's pretty interesting, so I wanted to get to the astronomical things first, I think, because of what it is today now is perigee. Perigee is when the moon is its closest to the Earth, and this happens about every 27 and a half days, so once a month, and the moon is actually about 8% closer. And sometimes even closer when it's near the equator, which is what happened in 1989, which we'll get to. But it looks about 5.5% larger. And a term they never want to use for some reason, it seems, is syzygy. That's S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. And that's when three celestial bodies are in alignment, which is what will happen tomorrow. I think it's in the early afternoon, if I remember correctly. And as we can see, when the moon is close to the Earth, earthquakes are very often triggered. And we've had a couple in New Jersey, of all places. And I contacted someone that lives there. They're in South Jersey, though, and this is in North Jersey. And they were outside working and didn't feel it, but right away remembered the other one, which was 5.8 in Washington, off Washington, D.C., in 2011. That was August 23rd. And that shook everything so much. And I wondered about that, how legitimate it was. And it had aftershocks and everything. But if you might remember, there were tales of nuclear materials I think being taken from South Carolina, and Lindsey Graham having something to say about that, so whether they actually did take that out and dump it in the drink, and the quake was a result, I don't know. Could be. Stranger things have happened. So we have some clips here, too, about it, and I really like, I think I have it as number one. Let me look again, because I was messing around and screwing things up. Number one is Jim Berkland, right, Sam? Yeah, so if you want to get that ready, this man was very good at predicting, just using what we could use, syzygy, for one, the alignments, and how that triggers quakes. And he was the one that, we'll listen to the clip and then we'll talk about it some more.
The Cabbage Patch, the dog.
Now there was one man who uses animal instincts to find out when the next big quake will hit. Wendy Walsh reports.
October 17th, 1989, 5:04 p.m. Game 3 of the World Series is about to begin in San Francisco when the nationally televised broadcast is knocked off the air.
I'll tell you what, we're having an earthquake.
Right on schedule.
An earthquake registering 6.9 on the Richter scale rocks the Bay Area, killing 62 people, causing $6 billion in damage. And James Berkland knew it was coming. His prediction was printed 3 days before. And before you blame that bold prediction on luck, consider this.
Now, I haven't missed a 5-magnitude quake in the Bay Area, and there have been 21 of them since 1973.
More than 23 years of monitoring the Earth's every move, and this geologist says he's 21 for 21 in his hometown.
It's really very simple to predict earthquakes, and anyone can do it. The hard part is being right.
James Berkland is right a lot of the time, or so he says. He claims to have a 75% accuracy rate in predicting earthquakes. But he doesn't do it alone. He depends on the help from runaway dogs and cats, like these little cuties here at a Burbank animal shelter in California. These animals help him predict the future. James believes animals can sense subtle changes in the earth and that some will actually run away in fear before an earthquake hits.
Highlight the missing cat.
So he follows the classifieds from several California papers, noting the number of dogs and cats reported missing.
They went from 33 up to 58.
When he sees those numbers jump and the moon's gravitational pull on the earth is at its greatest, he knows an earthquake could be coming.
I have never experienced an earthquake that he successfully predicted.
Dr. Thomas Heaton is a professor of seismology at the California Institute of Technology. He says there's no way to predict earthquakes and that Berkland's work is hardly scientific.
Believe me, if it was such a straightforward thing to predict earthquakes by looking in newspapers, many people would be doing it.
I would have to call it jealousy.
James claims scientists like Dr. Heaton refuse to admit that animals know more than their machines. Berkland was suspended from the U.S. Geological Survey for causing undue panic following the San Francisco quake. No government geologist is allowed to make public predictions. So Berkland does it on his own with a newsletter, and he's not about to stop.
If you have something that works, use it.
Well, if you believe Berkland's theory, Californians should get ready. He says a quake of at least a magnitude 4 will hit Los Angeles between the 7th and 14th of January.
Okay. Now you see what they did to him? He was too good. He predicted that, and they didn't listen to him. And what happened, huh? So they don't want you to know ahead of time. So all this hoopla about this eclipse is mostly fear-mongering, I think. Things can happen. But listen to people that know, you know, or research for yourself. The gravitational pull of the moon is strong on both the full moon and the new moon. Now, this eclipse is on a new moon. It's just because you can't see it. You know, it's full in China, but it's, you know, full in the daytime here. I know one time I saw one here that in the daytime was enormous. I think that might have been 2011. It was just amazingly enormous. I don't think I've ever seen it any bigger. So it was closer. It was very close. And I think a lot of these things are just kept from us, you know, that we can learn from. The Earth wobbles, too. And kind of makes like a figure eight, sometimes more than others, depending on what's going on. And especially, it seems to me, within the month after the equinox and after the solstice, the major turnings. But it reconnoiters very rapidly. But one day, and it was in an April day, sunrise, the sun here rose in the solstice position, the farthest it goes north. But it tracked across, and the earth turned around again, and it was back where it should be. You know, so these are giant magnets. And let me see. I think next we have the one from, this is just a short one. Oh, we're here where they admit, okay, they've known all along. They knew this in ancient times, you know. They predict eclipses forever. You know, that's why we knew this one was coming. They know. And with this clip number 2, Sam, it's another short one, but it just says, oh, maybe there is a link. Well, of course there's a link.
New at 6, a swarm of earthquakes continues to shake parts of the South Bay. At least 39 quakes have rattled an area near Hollister since Sunday. The biggest quake happened yesterday with a magnitude 4.2. Meanwhile, a new study says there might be a link between earthquakes, the moon, and sun. KPIX 5's Linda Ramirez shows us how this could change the way scientists study tectonic plates.
Like most of California, Hollister is on shaky ground, and with a swarm of numerous small earthquakes over the last few days, the ground is shakier than normal.
According to the internet, it was about 18. I felt 4.
Strong?
About 4, 3, 2.5. I felt that one.
But scientists with the U.S. Geological Survey say there is much more happening below the surface than just the earthquakes you can feel. And a new study suggests that much smaller earthquakes are happening on a nearly regular schedule, and they are tied to the phases of the moon. Just as the moon's gravitational pull affects the ocean tides, scientists now say they have the data to show it has the same effect on hard ground.
Every day when the full moon's here, we're actually standing in relation to the center of the Earth about, you know, this much higher.
Dr. Malcolm Johnson says precise sensors located in Parkfield on the central coast have been detecting deep tremors along an active section of the San Andreas Fault. Scientists studied 81,000 of those tremors over a 9-year period and compared the data to tidal cycles. They found these tiny earthquakes were much more likely to occur during the waxing period when tides were getting higher, putting added pressure on the San Andreas.
It applies a very, very small loading, extra loading and unloading on the San Andreas Fault as a whole. Now, the stresses on the San Andreas Fault are huge. The Earth's tide is about 10,000 times or more smaller than that. So this is a very, very small perturbation or loading, if you like.
Johnston says scientists will continue studying to see if the tidal cycles have any direct relationship on larger earthquakes that reach the surface. But he says there's no reason to believe the swarm in Hollister is tied to our current full moon. In Hollister, Len Ramitas, KPIX 5.
Scientists say certain characteristics of fault, such as orient.
I was just going to say that one's from 2017. And I forget which one that Berkland was from. Of course, he was talking about 1989, but you see how they demoted him and poo-pooed his tracking animals? Well, he was doing that, but he was also doing what they should be doing, tracking the celestial bodies, the moon. And let me see here. Did I do that one yet? Let's see. I don't think so. Okay, so number 3, if you want to get that ready, Sam, is about Turkey. And we have an Indian speaker talking about it. It's kind of interesting about the Turkey-Syria quake. Predicted 3 days prior. So if you want to play that.
A powerful 7.8 magnitude earthquake hit southern Turkey and northern Syria early on Monday, toppling buildings and triggering a frantic search for survivors in the rubble in cities and towns across the area. Over 5,000 people were killed and thousands injured, and the toll is rising with many aftershocks reported as well. The quake felt so far as Cairo was centered north of the city of Gaziantep in and about 90 kilometers from the Syrian border. A Dutch researcher, Frank Hogebets, who works for organization Solar System Geometry Survey or SSGS based in Netherlands, had apparently predicted the quake on 3rd of February 2023, just 3 days ago. Using his Twitter account, the Dutch expert wrote, and I quote, "Sooner or later, there will be a magnitude 7.5 earthquake in this region of South Central Turkey, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon." After Frank's prediction went viral, he responded to the earthquake saying, "As I stated earlier, sooner or later, this would happen in this region, similar to the years 111 and 526. These earthquakes are always predicted by critical planetary geometry, as we had on 4th to 5th February. Meanwhile, according to the United States Geological Survey, earthquake predictions are not supported by scientific evidence because earthquakes are a natural phenomena. The predictions are too generalized, and if an earthquake occurs that somewhat matches their prediction, they claim success despite the fact that one or more of their predicted elements differed drastically from their actual transcripts, making it a failed prediction, the body has stated.
Okay, was that it? Yeah. Yeah, it's a natural phenomenon, so you can't predict it. Yeah, having a baby is a natural phenomenon too, but you can't predict it, right? Alrighty then. No matter how pregnant the news is. So, I think we're coming to the one in D.C. that happened in 2011. Yeah, if you want to get that one ready, Sam. That's what, number four. Got it right this time. Yeah, and this is just about 10 minutes. And it happened on August 23, 2011. And, you know, it wasn't a full moon or anything. If you want to go ahead and play that one.
And the building was going from side to side, and you could hear a lot of noise and people screaming and panicking.
Most of the people around here were thinking that it was a bomb.
I went around to the other side and saw the other chimney waving like this.
I'm all the way on the seventh floor, so it felt like the building was going to collapse.
It was my first day on the job, and I was shadowing Chris Gordon. And all of a sudden, the car we were in started shaking, and I'm thinking to myself, are they playing a joke on me? Are they, like, shaking the car?
What is it?
My first thought was that we had had a gas explosion.
Boom, boom, boom.
And then I went to the, ran to the door, and I looked out, and I thought maybe it was a plane.
And it was actually the sound of falling stones striking the roof and striking the building.
And I saw a light pole just swaying back and forth.
You ask any Washingtonian, where were you on the day that the earthquake happened? Everyone remembers where they were.
And it's one that everybody felt, not just from our area.
This was felt all the way up into southern Canada and as far south as the southern tip of Florida. This is the largest and most damaging earthquake that's happened in the eastern U.S. in over 100 years.
I was right here in this room, my kitchen, with an Italian chef.
There you go. The fish is nearly ready.
What's that?
Parkway.
What is that? What is it?
Honestly, it felt like a truck was about to barrel through this kitchen.
It's a earthquake.
Yeah.
John.
Yo.
What's going on?
That video that ran on NBC4 was seen around the world. I think that it was probably one of the few pieces of video that actually showed what it was like in a house at the time that it hit. So I had friends in London, friends in Rome, friends in Seoul, Korea, who said they saw that video on their television sets and realized that it was someone they knew and got in touch with me, find out if everything was okay.
We were very lucky no lives were lost because there was a lot of damage that involved falling masonry facades, masonry blocks, etc. And it's actually pretty lucky that there was no one standing underneath when some of these things came down.
The Washington Monument in particular experienced some of the worst damage in the city, owing primarily to the fact that it is a stone building. There's no steel, no metal reinforcement. A steel building, steel frame building, is designed to sway in the event of an earthquake, dissipating the force of the earthquake. The stone merely magnified those waves all the way up to the top. So of the damage we saw, the majority of it was from the 500 to 555 foot level.
The main structure of the building, the walls of the building, remained sound, but all of that energy from the quake was going up the walls, and this is such a tall structure, and it has these very slender Gothic elements. So that energy, those energy waves just kept going up, 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 and, you know, boom, you know, through these spires and these pinnacles. And most of the damage was on the exterior. Of course, the main tower, the main central tower above me, just huge pieces of stone shifted and rotated. Tail pieces fell off. We were lucky that, you know, some pieces fell, but the way they fell was we were pretty lucky they landed in the parapets. So, you know, it could have been a lot worse. I always say that quake lasted 58 seconds. Had it lasted two or three more seconds, we would have had a tremendous amount more damage. A lot more material would have fallen off of the building. So all in all, I mean, it was a lot of damage, but we were also fortunate in many ways.
The quake has forced more than 500 people from their homes in Prince George's County. Structural engineers say the damage left behind is just too great for anyone to go inside right now. A temporary shelter is now set up in the Hillcrest Heights Community Center. And News 4's Tracy Wilkins is there with more for us now. Tracy?
One thing's for sure. These folks don't know when they're going to be able to return home.
These are massive, tall apartment buildings. And I'm thinking about how I felt in my own home, feeling that earthquake and feeling the porch shake. They felt that in their entire
building. Can you still hear?
And they also had cracks, and they also had damage. And they were evacuated out of their apartments, and these folks were displaced.
County officials say that those two condemned apartment buildings suffered about $650,000 in damage, and they're going to have to be brought back up to code before these folks can return home.
And because they didn't know about the integrity of this building and how damaged it was, they weren't even allowed to go back in to get their personal possessions. So it was almost like a fire had happened. And it's one thing if you live in a place like California where this happens regularly and you have drills and you understand the process. But for us, we were not equipped to deal with something like this. We weren't prepared for it at all.
Yeah, well, the reason for earthquakes in the eastern U.S. is a bit of a mystery because we're not near a plate boundary like the western U.S. And most earthquakes occur along plate boundaries where the plates are scraping against each other. So it's a scientific question as to why we get earthquakes within the plate boundaries rather than at the edges. And we don't know the answer to that. Eastern U.S. earthquakes are felt much more widely than the western U.S. because the rocks in the continent are much colder. They're much older and they're much stronger. So the energy gets transmitted much more effectively and much more efficiently. So damage can extend from much farther distances in the eastern U.S. And it also highlighted one of the effects of local amplification by sediments. In particular, Washington, D.C. is underlain by the Atlantic Coastal Plain sediments, and those sediments clearly amplified the ground shaking.
It lasted close to a minute. I remember that just shaking for close to a minute. I also remember the aftershocks. You know, I was in bed, and I'm literally waiting for the aftershocks because that's what I do. And I remembered an aftershock at about 2:30 in the morning, and again, you just feel the little shaking going on across the entire area. So something pretty cool.
This is my engagement photo with my husband, and that in the back is the Washington Monument, all wrapped up, right? Still under repair. And this was a year or two after the earthquake happened. So, you know, everywhere you went in Washington, there were these constant reminders that something major had happened and had changed our lives, and it changed the way we live around here, at least momentarily.
All the repairs are complete. There is no residual damage left behind. The big concern with the 2011 earthquake was that because there is no steel holding all of the monument together, it's literally just gravity and the weight of the stones on top of each other, that because they're at an angle, if one of those faces had fractured and fallen out, there was a concern that all the rest of them would have gone as well. So as part of the repair work, they did install brackets to anchor those faces to each other and to the structure so that if we get a stronger earthquake in the future, that won't be a concern.
We're about halfway done with the repairs. If you look at everything we've done in the last 10 years, we're about halfway there. It's about $34 million in damage, we estimate. And we've raised and spent almost 17. So we are. We're about halfway, you know, depending how the money comes in, you know, we have to raise the money. We raise some money, we fix something. We raise a little more money, we fix something else. And that's kind of the way we go. It's kind of a pay as you go.
So there's a long history of relatively small earthquakes in the eastern United States. It's rare that they're damaging, but there have been damaging earthquakes in the past. The most notable example is the Charleston, South Carolina earthquake in 1886 that caused extensive damage to the city of Charleston, killed over 100 people.
And we have these panda cams and so forth, and we're able to pick up what the animals were doing. And particularly the orangutans were the ones who were first on the point. Huh. They understood it was coming. They warned each other by various sundry sounds, called belching sounds, I'm told. Huh. And they went up their poles and quit feeding, but the snakes also began moving around, and a number of the animals, the pandas slept through the whole thing.
Did not.
Of course they did.
We cannot predict the exact timing of earthquakes. We do know there will be more earthquakes on the East Coast. That's a given. What you can do is take some simple steps, though. Make sure you have emergency plans in place. Make sure that you don't have very heavy objects sitting balanced up on top of bookshelves that might fall down in an earthquake. So there's some very simple steps that people can take to prepare for this, for the next earthquake. Now, it's rare, but they will eventually happen.
Take a look at this brick right here. You see it? Well, it came from right over there. That is the town hall. The quake shook this building. And you see,
I have this brick to remind myself that this actually happened in the District of Columbia, Maryland, Virginia. Everyone felt this earthquake, and just to be able to report on it on your first day at NBC Washington is extraordinary.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we're ready for a break. Perfect timing. Thank you.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN.
free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Okay, we're back. And let me see, where did I leave off here? I think that was all of that that I wanted to talk about. With the earthquakes, there's so much more when you look into it. But they keep saying, you can't predict them. No, you can't. You can't. Not allowed. Because then when we set stuff off, you'll know we set stuff off. We can't have that. So I think we'll go into what I wanted to cover about some. I had talked with y'all before about the ritual murders by the in the Knights of Odin style in Delphi, Indiana, and still not diming out on anybody, and how the one policeman, Carter was his name, and he had his hand up on his forehead in a really weird way, and I'm doing that right now because it's weird, and it's a Masonic symbol that means you have sympathy with the killers. And so this other murder, which indicts the police, all right, is what I'm trying to say there. And apparently that was the case. And one of the girls' bodies had rune, R-U-N-E, carved into her. And Masonic order, and I had a good meme here somewhere, if I can find it. I wanted to read that to you, too. Let me see. It's pretty. I think it's Weiss, W-E-I-S-S is the, that's not it. Hang on. Oh, maybe it's no longer, maybe it went blank. Yeah, it looks like it might have. But it just said, it's Rabbi Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, that Masonry was Jewish through and through. And, I mean, you've got to realize that. It's as bad as saying you can't predict earthquakes. Can't even try, right? Well, what do they have in common? They have the Boaz and Joachim pillars out in front. And even a little Masonic holdings in little towns, like even right here in a little town near me. You know, they rent the building out for different functions and things, and it's not that big, but it has a little porch out front with two, you know, little roof support porch poles. It's like that is required kind of thing. And if you remember on 9/11, the two towers were very much like that, those two pillars. And then what was the name of the building, number 7? Oh, yeah, the Solomon Building. Oh, like Solomon's Temple, huh? It's very similar. And, of course, we get into that. All the buildings came down. People don't want to... I don't know why they have to refuse reality and look over to their buddy and, you agree? You agree with me? Well, okay, well, then we don't have to research and find out for ourselves. All the buildings came down. And including an 8th building, a bank building, Deutsche Bank, a banker's trust. But the energy weapons, some sort of frequency, had damaged it. And they tried to repair it, and they couldn't. It kept going bad, so they tore it down. And you'll remember when they went to put up the new little ditty thing to celebrate there, it kept rusting. So they use these things, and they don't know what might be the after effects or the continuing effects, you know, when they do these things. And, you know, people, cancer, and of course asbestos was everywhere because that was also a demolition. You know, people want to stop there and say, oh, it was just a demolition. Well, no, they wanted to go, but of course they're going to use it for several different things. And to me, it also points to the fact that they were relocating in China. They were destroying this empire. Think WTC, World Trade Center, or World Trade China. You know, we don't need these anymore. We're setting everything up over there. And you don't hear a whole lot about that, but especially after 2008 and the bankruptcy. And Zach Eim, who was the comptroller for the Department of Defense, a rabbi, went over there with his some trillions of dollars. And, you know, so this is just... modus operandi of the synagogue of Satan, like it or not. And people will say, oh, well, the Vatican. Yeah, well, the Vatican, Rothschilds took over the Vatican banking in 1823. And now on Good Report, coming through Jesse Sobodor in 2022, and we see all the videos of all the little cars coming out of the Vatican, hauling away something and some buddies or whatever. But that it was bankrupted, and all the finance now is held by the Leviathan and the Sanhedrin. And I think that's one reason they've struck now to try to get away with what they're doing right now. And I'm not going to say that number 6 months ago today, but they're using this. Okay, the old Holocaust, they didn't hold a hoax. The young ones weren't buying it anymore. And, you know, if they were to ask questions, well, how come this? How come that? You know, how come all these survived? And, you know, going to have questioning Jewish children like Nathaniel Kapner. His real name's Milton, by the way. You know, so there's a lot of questions. But anyway, so I was looking at these two. I got some other things that were not true, but these two ongoing murder cases. And the first one is with Petri Neely Blanchard. Now, apparently through her family line, through generations, they have been molesting and harming the children. And she came out of that and is trying to change it, right? And there were a team of them, and her little girl being abused by her father, and told her the details. Told the mother. And so this fellow, Christopher Hallett, not Greg Hallett, he's the one that claims to have the royal bloodline. Anyway, so Christopher Hallett, it was called E-Clause, and he had figured out the codes they were using in family courts to get the children taken away. And so he had to go. And they blamed the murder of him on Neely. And there is another young lady there. And let me see, what date was that? That was where'd I write it on this page? Not on my papers. November 15th, 2020. And they suddenly arrested Neely, was it a year or two? Just suddenly. And then they're doing all this kind of injustice with her, really. So I guess we'll go ahead and listen to these other couple of videos. I don't think they're very long. And the next one that says number four should be number five, Sam. And it's only a couple minutes. But it's interesting because of... I hope it tells it in here. I forget if it does. If not, I'll be reading it to you. But this attorney, supposed to be her defense attorney, which is more like a prosecutor, brought up Bridge of Harm, this Florida attorney, just before the Baltimore Bridge collapsed. If you want to go ahead and play that, Sam.
I will. And also, on a side note, before I start reading this, just so you know, a car crashed into the Atlanta, Georgia office of the FBI, and they're blaming it on a QAnon person yesterday.
Hold on, your phone is going in and off. What did you say?
Someone crashed into the FBI Atlanta office. A car went crashing into the gates of the FBI office in Atlanta, Georgia, and they're blaming it on a QAnon fucking crazy person.
Whoops, sorry about that.
I also want to tell you this that I think is really important. Did you read in Jack's motion that day when he filed that motion to withdraw me from counsel, and he wrote in there, have you got to read that yet, where he says that I created a bridge of harm because he found all this stuff that I'm supposedly, I've been claiming that he's working with the FBI and that I have created a bridge of harm, and then right after that, the bridge is when the bridge fell, the bridge got hit.
They do shit like that. They actually do shit like that. I didn't see it and I didn't put it together, but there's so many anomalies like that, it's hard to say. Even this QAnon FBI thing, the QAnon FBI thing is about you.
Listen, I went into the law library and I actually wrote that word that he wrote in that motion, right? Because, like, I can go in the law library and I can click on, like, a certain thing. So if I want to know of all the cases that are ever on file in America that says we the people, okay,
yep.
It will literally pull up every single case dating back, okay, because mm-hmm. that is this law library, okay? Do you know that when I clicked on Bridge of Harm, which is what he says in his motion, that
yeah.
I created this bridge of harm
yeah.
because I'm claiming that he's working with the FBI and all this stuff, there's nowhere, no case has ever talked about a bridge of harm. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking about it, and then this big bridge thing happened. This
yeah.
big freaking bridge. The bridge freaking fell down.
Yep. And they did a rainbow bridge thing to me. Neely, they did a rainbow bridge thing to me too, okay? And they do this. And the QAnon Georgia thing, that's for you. That's just to have another case of another crazy QAnon against law enforcement and against the FBI.
Take the children and yourself.
Okay, I guess that's it. I think that's it.
But now fighting will be.
Yeah. So, this is ongoing, and, different people involved, and I don't know. I think we might be able to get the rest of this one in. Maybe not. But if you want to get number six ready there, Sam. It's interesting because this man, Pellegrino, I forget what his first name is, sets up the recorder and calls this woman that was still there after the murder, and you'll hear what he says and stuff. But at the end, he says, thanks for calling me. So this is a setup to get her cleared or whatever, I guess. But you'll see in the middle here, they didn't test her hands for gunpowder. So, Sam, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for calling
the
Woodbridge.
Please visit
O'Callaghan.
Debbie, I'm asking you. Yeah, I need Shannon in room 211, please.
Shannon, this is Tony Pellegrino. What's going on?
Tony Pellegrino.
What's happening?
Nearly killed Chris last night.
With how did she do it? With what?
With a gun.
You were there? Oh no! Where are you at now?
I'm in a hotel room. I don't have shoes. I don't have a blanket. I have no cigarettes.
No cigarettes.
They're still processing the crime scene.
What? Well, I thought she was part of the team. What happened?
What happened? They railroaded her, that's what. And if you want to move it on to the next one at 10 minutes 42 seconds. So after he had got this set, and the volume, her audio is just, well, she says effing about a million times, and not that many, but anyway. And it's a lower volume and stuff. So this is part of the problem. Like E. Michael Jones says, the women leave the looms. They leave their homes or work at home, and society falls apart. You know, I hear different men, talking about a right to life or getting over abortions and whatnot, and how the men are affected by this, and they don't want to be with a woman that's going to kill their offspring. You know, they plead with her not to, and then there's others that say, okay, I'll, you know, just pay for it. And there was one man said, I had 7 abortions when he realized what he had done, paying for all these abortions, and was very reticent and, seeking forgiveness. So if you got that ready, we'll listen to, did they test your hands for gunpowder?
Your hand to see if you shot the gun, or?
No, nothing like that. Nothing. Nope.
Well.
I don't even think I've ever touched a real gun in my life, Tony, because I'm a former gunshot victim already. I was shot both my knees with a deer rifle 30 at 6 when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
How'd that happen?
I didn't think I would ever walk again. I was in the hospital for like a year and a half.
You know, people just get so cold, you know, and this has been purposeful in our generations to make us this way. And ones that would be the mothers and are the natural ambassadors and keep civilization together is, it just takes one or two generations, and they're pretty messed up. And we hear a lot about Yuri Bezmenov, which he used the name Thomas Schumann, and he's like proud. Anyway, let's go on to that third part. Thank you, Sam.
Know that, you know, he's pretty strong-headed and strong-willed about what he believes, according to the law. And, you know, I've been working with him off and on for a long time, so.
And how am I supposed to work with that? He's such a strong-headed, he thinks he knows everything. How am I supposed? I ain't got time to babysit his emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, well, I mean for Chris's legacy. I mean, this was what he was. You know, he was right in the middle of his purpose.
Yeah. We have other people that we've been working with that are farther along in learning applying this administration and getting movement, and they've already reached out to me and said also that, you know, whatever, to finish Chris's work or whatever needs to be done, they're in. They're just as much as updated as I am. I'm sure his kids are going to be too.
How old is his kid?
His youngest, I think, are like 14 and 15.
Oh man, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Wow. So did you know anybody, any of his family over there? Did you meet any of his family?
Mom lived right in the same house, but it was a duplex. So she was next door.
She was home when it happened?
Yeah.
Oh.
But she wasn't in our side. She was in her side.
So she probably heard. I guess the cops interviewed her too, right?
Yeah, she heard, but she probably didn't know what was going on because, like I said, we had been dealing with the neighbors shooting off fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
In the past week or two, and she's paranoid, and there's sometimes there's gunshots that people shoot off around
you know, because they're not in a rural area, they're more in a distant suburb private development.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that's being in the court system is traumatized, man. I talk to so many people that they lose their marbles going through this stuff. It's hard to, when you're going, kids are kidnapped from you. I mean, people lose their shit. I mean, it's horrible how the system's really driving people crazy. This is just so demonic. Wow.
I appreciate you talking to me, Tony, and praying with me.
Nobody's praying with me. Well, I'll keep you in prayer. You got my number, so let's stay in touch.
Okay.
All right, I'll try to. I got to go over my sister. I got a TRO hearing on.
I don't know if Kirk knows. Jamie was the first one I called, and I know she talked to Kathy. I don't know who else she's talked to or told.
Well, I'm sure Kirk knows. He posted something.
He did?
Yeah, something about the county sheriffs that didn't say anything. It said the Ocala County Sheriff something. And he didn't comment at all. He didn't comment. He just reposted that.
Oh, yeah. Jamie found it last night where it was me responding to. Shooting, and I think she said they updated it to a homicide this morning.
All right, well, let's stay in touch.
Okay.
I'll talk to you. I'll be praying for you. Thank you for calling me. Let me know what's going on. I'm so sorry,
yeah,
Shannon.
Thank you for calling me. I called you, but thank you for calling me. Yeah, so, yep. Dirty pool. What am I saying about Yuri Bezmenov, you know, when you look into everything, it, you know, it sounds so good at face value, and we listen to the different clips and things, but there's always so much more to learn. And his name was Thomas Schumann, and in one of his videos, somebody said, I don't know, which one was that? I don't know. But he admitted to playing the part of a hippie, you know? So, and I've known people, foreign, you know, accent and stuff, and very easy to do, you know. Most of the hippie groups are pretty open, you know. Cannabis isn't like alcohol, of course. A lot of them do both, but you know, it's another kind of thing. And then when I think of Ed Griffin and his interviewing them, and of course, like with the Matrix, as we're finding out, the red pill is the opposite of what we should be talking about for the immortals. The red pill means the blood of children, but not even that. Beyond that, his book about the Federal Reserve, Ed Griffin's, is basically a knockoff of Eustace Mullins' book, except he removed all the references to Jews. That's how you stay without getting knocked out. Oh, I see we have a call. Do we have time to take a call? Oh, okay. You want to wait till after Chance the break? Okay. All right. We'll wait till after the break, Chance, so don't have to cut you off in the middle. I think we're about to go there. And there's so many other things that we just have to keep repeating because we forget. There's so many. A friend told me, reminded me about the rainbow flag is the Noahide law flag. And I knew that. I was saying that when no one else was saying that, but I forgot. You know, we're conquered territory, and we think it's bad enough conquered by the rainbow for all the deviants, but it's also for the Noahide, and especially for the Noahide, because they claim that Christianity is idolatry and they can behead when they get their power, and they're trying to get it. I mean, like I said, they've got the money power. They have all along, but they really have it now. And, you know, they can decapitate Christians is what they plan to do. But they also plan to crack down on all the deviants. See? This is how it'll work. This is how they'll really reduce the population, get everybody into all this deviance, and then claim to be holier than thou and wipe everybody out because of the deviance. Although they'll still be deviant themselves. They're the main ones doing that. Yeah, well, it's just how it is. But I was also looking at some of the other things we need to be reminded of, and I'll get into this other murder trial when we come back too, after we talk to Chance. Thank you, Sam.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.